Everybody, for a while now, I have been looking forward to this day, this Easter day, because I knew that whenever people comes in the door, they're going to be extremely diverse, right? And I'm not just talking about diverse in race, but hold on, let me pause right there real quick. I see some black folks out there, and oh my gosh, thank you. Never leave me. Never leave me. Thank you so much for coming through. You know, amen. Ain't nothing wrong with clapping with that. Y'all, come on. Y'all. Just stay. Move in. It's hard out here. You laughing, but you know I'm telling the truth. All right? Sorry, I digress. But it's so great to see everybody in here. Not just diversity in race, but diversity in how we grew up, the foods that we eat, you know, the things that we do, you know, how we grew up, you know, how we dress. I just love diversity, and I believe that, man, it's just a small picture of what heaven is going to look like. Y'all, we are in here, very diverse, loving Jesus. We are here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, I mean, if that's not the great unifier, I don't know what is. Amen? Small heaven, small picture of what heaven is going to look like. But with all of our great differences, we all have one commonality. Every single person in here. All right? Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, Richard, yes, of course. You know, we are all made in God's image, and we're all brothers and sisters. You know, of course, but I ain't about to talk about all that right now. We all got one commonality, and our common denominator has to do with each and every person in here with our hatred for a certain profession. I mean, a hatred, sheer evil hatred for them. And that profession is athletes for the Chicago Cubs and the New England Patriots, y'all. Yeah. We hate them, all right? With a passion that moves mountains. If you are in here and you're a Cubs fan and you're a Pats fan and you feel uncomfortable, good. You're not welcome here. All right? I see some people like, I'm joking. All right? Sort of. All right? But even the unholy Patriots fans and Cubs fans, and no matter how unholy and evil you are, even we share a common hatred in a certain profession. In this certain profession, y'all ready for it? Bill collectors. Tell me I'm lying. Some of y'all in here may be bill collectors. You hate yourselves, right? Some of you all in here like, man, my children are bill collectors. You hate them. Why you got to deny it? We in church. I mean, we can be real with each other, right? You know, even bill collectors hate bill collectors. Nobody likes collecting bills. Now, if you're anything like me, I like to poke the bear a little bit. When bill collectors call me, telemarketers call me, you know, I just don't see it and then hang up. I kind of mess with them just a little bit. I remember whenever I was little, when I got old enough, I had to forgive an endless amount of sins for lying to bill collectors, because anytime that phone ring, my mama looked at me, she goes, answer it. Hello? Hello, I'm such and such. It's Vanessa Moncrief there. My mama's like, no, you know, and then whoever invented caller ID needs to get a complete 1-800 number to God, a direct line. Now you can just go to heaven on a full ride scholarship because they're incredible, because they ain't got a lot no more. Sorry, I digress. But if you're anything like me, I love to poke the bear. I love to make bill collectors. I would love for bill collectors to put me on the do not call list because I like to jack with them, right? As Heidi will know, I mess with them all of the time. And so I ran across a prank phone call of somebody, you know, somebody doing that to a bill collector. I'd love to share with you all. So if you don't mind, y'all, how about we listen to this, okay? And I encourage you to do this like
crazy. KLBJ.
Hello, could I speak to Richard?
Yeah, this is Richard.
Of course,
how can
his
I
name
help
is
you?
Richard.
Hi, Richard. This is Tina calling from the National Corporate Office of VC Money.
Yes.
And your account was forwarded to me today for review.
Okay, great. Am I going to get some more credit extended to me?
Okay, sir.
Yes?
And your account is showing in the past due in the amount of $1,066.58.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I need some more credit extended to me, because
okay,
I'm past
sir,
due.
This is not a comedy call. This is a legal business matter, and I'm calling you to address this matter.
Okay, I'm not trying to be a comedy call. I'm just trying to help you to understand that I need that money. I'm in trouble if I don't get it.
Sir, we've already loaned you money.
Ma'am, I'm going to be wearing cement shoes at the end of the week if I don't pay Vinny and his boys, okay?
Sir.
Ma'am.
This is not The Sopranos. This is easy money. Your account is overdue. Are you still currently employed?
What is the reason
that you're unable, the real reason why you're unable to pay this loan back?
Because I thought I could double it, okay? And I didn't, and now I'm in trouble.
So what I'm hearing you say is you borrowed the money to gamble it, and you gambled it away.
I didn't say that.
Well, you said you could double it. That's a gamble.
Not necessarily. It was a sure thing.
Obviously not.
Well, no, you can thank Tom Brady for that.
Amen.
Sir, what are we need to come into a solution on how you're going to pay this back. You have a loan that's 40 days past due.
It's only 40 days. I still haven't paid my college loans. It's 26 years. Don't worry about it. You'll get your money.
Sir, we need to make arrangements now. Are you still employed at the HTC?
You know what? I got to let you go. I can't deal with this right now. I've got bigger issues. If you're not going
to
give me more,
if you're not going to give me more money, come in and borrow the money. Now you're saying that you're not going to pay it back?
Borrow this.
I need to meet that guy and just have him be the pastor of this church. Incredible young man. But y'all, we all laugh at that because we all can relate to it. Tell me, how many of y'all wanted to poke the bear and kind of do that stuff, right? And if you, hands, you're lying, whatever, all right? Y'all, debt is our common denominator. Now, whether it's student loans or rent or mortgage payment or you owe your brother $5 for whatever, all of our dotes can understand this, you all, because hey, we all understand debt in one way or another. Now, that's just our physical debt. That's just our debt here in this life. Jesus addressed our spiritual debt on Good Friday 2,000 plus years ago. Now, you all, check this out. Now, in John 19:30, it says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. So let's focus on these three words, y'all. It is finished. Now, in English, whenever you read your Bibles, your Bible is written in English, and you see it says it is finished. But in order for us to truly understand what that word means, to give us a better grip of what this word actually means, we have to go back to the Greek, right? The New Testament was written in Koine Greek, in common Greek. And so the word that was translated, it's finished, is the word tetelestai. Can everybody say tetelestai? Say it like you mean it, tetelestai. Now, hear this, everybody. Whenever you heard the word tetelestai, you normally heard it from clerks. You normally heard it from merchants. Like whenever a debt was satisfied, whenever a debt was paid in full, they were right tetelestai, or they would tell the person tetelestai. All right? Does that make sense? Whenever, you know, back then, if you bought 30 mules or something like that or whatever, and you finally paid the credit of all your mules, then they would rejoice because they would say tetelestai. It was always a celebratory word, tetelestai. You know, whenever they paid off a form, tetelestai. Whenever the rabbis, they finished rabbinical school and they had to pay, you know, they finished paying Sally Mae back or whatever, they were like, "Hey, turn up, I did it, tetelestai." I know Sally Mae is the devil. I promise you, that lady don't know Jesus, all right? Sally Mae, if you're listening to this message, just know I hate you with a passion that moves mountains, all right? Sorry, I digress. Tetelestai. Now, many of us in here, we're so looking forward to the day that we pay off our mortgage or our car or our student loans or whatever, and we're like, our debt is paid in full to telestai. But why on earth would Jesus say such a celebratory word, such a word that requires for enjoyment, it requires a party? Why would Jesus say that while being nailed on the cross? Jesus, beaten beyond recognition, experiencing all the sins on him, being separated from God, being nailed to the cross, being rejected by the very people he loved, said a celebratory word, called for a party to tell us that why he was there on the cross. I don't know about you, but it makes no sense to me, right? When we're going through big stuff, like whenever we're experiencing pain, emotional pain or physical pain, there are not too many words that come out of our mouth that calls for a party. But Jesus did that. Why would he do that? What does Jesus dying on the cross have anything to do with debt? You all, I remember one day I was 15 years old. If you know anything about a 15-year-old, they know everything under the sun, right? And sometimes, like whenever you're 15, 14, 15, you begin to test the waters just a little bit more. I did that with my mama one day. So I'm in my room. I'm with my friend. We're playing Madden. And then we decided to go to the park to play some basketball. So I'm like, okay, yeah, let's go. I put my shoes on. I walk out my room. I'm getting ready to put my hand on the doorknob. And then my mama said, hey, make sure you clean that room before you go. Moms always do that. Like right before you do something, moms, yeah. But hey, be sure you clean that room before you leave. And then me and all of my wisdom decided to smart off to my mama a little bit. I want to impress my homeboy right there. Not a good move. I'm getting ready to leave. Hey, make sure your room is clean. I clean it when I get back. And so I'm like, making sure none hit me upside the head and the back. But then she says, boy, you heard what I, she gave me grace. Boy, you heard what I said. And then I was like, and then I whipped my head around saying, I said I would. And before I could even finish the sentence, it's like my mom teleported from the other end of the house to 2 inches right in my face, and she looked at me, all right, with sheer anger, all right, and she looked square at me, and I looked for my homeboy for help, and he was like, man, I ain't got nothing to do with this. And she said something I'll never forget. She said, boy, your mouth is about to write a check that your butt can't cash. I quickly said, yes, ma'am, went back in my room, Mr. cleaned it, spot and span, cleaned her room and everything else, and then I left the house. You all, but my mom, she had a way with words, but you all, now, everyone in here, you all, God is our creator, and he desires for every single person in here to live completely debt-free. That was his design, his original design. I want you all to live debt-free, talking about our spiritual debt. But Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single person in here has sinned, everyone in here. We have all made that terrible purchase of sin by breaking God's law. And since God is our creator, we owe God. Does that make sense? Every person in here purchased sin. God wanted you to live debt-free. However, we saw sin. Every single person in here, we saw sin, and it was so pleasing to our eye. We're like, I'm about to purchase that. And we purchased it. And so God is like, all right, so you're going to have to pay for that sin. You owe me. Since I am your creator, I created all things, you owe me. Everybody say, we owe God. We got to pay the piper. But this is where it gets scary, men and women. We all have insufficient funds. We wrote the check for our lives, you know, that we couldn't cash. My mama was like, look, you about to write a check that your butt can't cash. Like, you are about to do something that you can't handle. You're going to do something that you can't pay the piper. Like, you're going to have to absorb my wrath. And I didn't want no part of that. Here's the deal. Whenever we sin, we owe God. But there was nothing that we could do to absorb the wrath of God. There was nothing that we can do to pay God back. But we try. No matter how many church services you attend, no matter how much money you give to somebody, no matter how much you encourage somebody, there is nothing that you can do, nothing you can do to pay back the debt to God. I mean, nothing. But how so much do we desperately try? But then on top of that, how many times have you all heard the phrase like, but I'm a good person, you know? I'm morally right. I'm a good person. I treat people with respect. I'm good. But let me tell you how the Bible addresses that. In Isaiah 64:6, it says, all our righteous acts are filthy rags, which means that no matter, I mean, you can be you on your best day, and you can serve everybody that's in your sphere of influence, everybody that's in your house, everybody that's in your job. You can love them and encourage them. You can give them stuff. I don't write them in your will. You can do whatever, but it doesn't matter. On your best day to God, your best acts are filthy rags because God is so perfect. God is so holy. It doesn't matter what you do. Romans 3:12 says, there is no one who is good, not even one. Have you ever met some people there? I'm like, do you even sin? Like, how incredible are you? That lady is Marsha Webb. I look at Marsha and I'm like, man, Marsha, and you married him, Dennis? Who are your children? Sorry, I couldn't help myself, Amy. But and I'm like, but even God, it was like, she isn't good. Nobody is good, not even one. You and I trying to pay back God with our works. It's like using Monopoly money to try to pay your car note. It makes no sense. That money isn't designed for that purpose. If you go and say, all right, here's my rent money, and they're like, okay, you're not passing go or collecting $200. Like, I'm not, you know, this doesn't satisfy your debt. You better give me some real stuff. This doesn't make any sense. It's not designed for that. It's not created for that. Men and women, no matter how hard we try to get in God's good graces, you are not designed for it. God is our creator. You're not designed. Like, there's nothing that you can do to please God forever, to absorb the wrath of God. You're not built that way. There's nothing in you that has the power to satisfy the wrath of God. So let's put this all into perspective, men and women. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. We've all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Like all of us have. All right? And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Every single person in here has sinned and you created a debt for yourself. And since you have insufficient funds, God says you're going to have to pay for your debt. All right? But there's nothing you can do to pay for it. So you're going to have to pay the piper. And for the wages of sin is death, separation from God forever. Everybody in here, there's nothing you can do about it. But God. I love those two words string together. But God. Amen? God is our great creator, and our great creator desires to be with us. And again, our main fate is to be away from God forever. But he created us, just purely because he wants to be with his creation. So since we can't be with him, and God understands that we created such a huge debt in our life because of sin, and since he understands that we have insufficient funds to pay for our sin, God, through Creator, created the best loan forgiveness plan forever. And let me tell you exactly what the word says. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life." In Isaiah 53:5, it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed." Romans 5:8 says, "But God showed his love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us." And so let me tell you this, y'all. So Jesus, all right, lived a completely perfect life. All right. God saw us that there's nothing that we can do to get to God. There's nothing that we can do. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, and he was God with skin on, lived a perfect life, faced every single temptation that you and I face. Every single one that you and I have faced, that we'll ever face. And where we failed, Jesus succeeded. He didn't stack up any kind of debt, but he died on the cross for our sins. Our sins. He lived perfectly, but he died on the cross for our sins. And then whenever he was nailed to the cross, whenever he said, "To telesphi," he said, "Everything is paid in full," because me and my perfect humanity lived perfectly and took care of your debt so you wouldn't have to. Your debt, you all, is paid in full. Why on earth do we try to pay our own debt? So many people in here, there may be people in here that don't know Jesus Christ, and you're trying to, you know, you're trying to do whatever you can to make sure that you go to heaven. And it's all in vain. Oh, well, it's Easter, so let me go ahead and come in Easter. Now, if y'all going to church once or twice a year does not mean you're going to go to heaven at all. And before people be like, "I've been here every single Sunday," that don't mean you're going to heaven either. We're all in the same boat. We all have the same amount of debt. And Jesus saw that. To telesphi, it is finished. You will be in heaven forever. Because he paid your debt. Colossians 2, 13 through 14 says this. "And you who are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses, all of our debt, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." That's why he said, "To telesphi." Bad news, we got a bunch of debt. And there's nothing we can do to satisfy that debt. The good news is we have somebody that spoke on our behalf and satisfied that debt for us. But you just don't get it willy-nilly. A lot of people, they believe that. Okay, Jesus died. All right, got the debt. Cool, so I'm good. Got a get out of hell free card, and I'm all right, and I get to live however I live. Then whenever I die, I get to be in heaven forever. And the devil wants you to believe that, y'all, and that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. See, you think about this, you all. Now, for those who have bad credit can really understand this. Whenever you want to go get a house, or whenever you want to go get a car or whatever, you're going to need somebody. You're going to need a cosigner, because this is what a cosigner does. A cosigner, normally like a great friend or a family member, would say, like, okay, if they don't pay their bills, then I am responsible for their bills, all right? So if they're not paying them, if they're not paying you, put it all on me. Put all of the debt on me, and I will satisfy it. I will keep paying it off. That's exactly what Jesus did, because again, there was nothing that you can do to earn your way into heaven. So Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to be their co-signer. So whenever God looks at us, he will see our lives. And if he sees Jesus Christ, he will look over our transgressions. He will look over our sin. He will look over our debt. He will look over our faults, completely look past us and look at Jesus Christ, who lived perfectly, who knew no sin, became sin for us. And on our behalf, we get to go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. The question is, men and women, is Jesus your co-signer? It's easy here to be a Christian in the Bible Belt. A Christian in the Bible Belt. Oh yeah, Jesus is my co-signer. How? How is Jesus your co-signer? Because we may go to church, I'm saying, you know, once a week, twice a year. Because, I don't rob and I don't steal. I'm at a stable job. I'm with my family all of the time. I treat people with respect. That's how I know Jesus is my co-signer, because I'm better than somebody else. Y'all, do not believe in that lie. The devil wants to distract you and believe you that you and wants you to believe that you're actually saved, and you're going to be living your entire life completely deceived. And whenever you die, you will be in everlasting damnation. You will be separated from God for all of eternity. And he would deceive you all the way to hell. Do not leave this place here today being deceived. Jesus desires to be your co-signer, willingly wants to be your co-signer. And some of you all need a co-signer right now. You're saying, like, no matter what I'm doing, my marriage is still failing, no matter what I do. So what can I do? And Jesus is saying, nothing. The reason why you can't do anything, because you need a co-signer. You keep stacking up debt in your marriage. So let me take over your marriage. Some of you all, you feel like that you're bad fathers or you're bad mothers. And no matter what you do, you keep failing your children. And you're saying, what can I do? And Jesus said, nothing, because I am the father to the fatherless and the mother to the motherless. And I would teach you how to be a mother and a father. So let me be the co-signer and you follow me, and let me show you how to mother and father your children. Some of you all you feel like you've just been a terrible coworker, a terrible whatever. There is nothing you can do in all walks of life. Nothing. You need a co-signer. And Jesus saw that, and he wants to make all things new. All you have to do is submit your lives to Jesus' lordship. You've been trying to do it on your own, and it's gotten you nowhere. And if you keep it up, it's going to get you in eternity, separated from God forever. But he doesn't want that. Again, he is our master creator, and the creator desires to be with his creation, with you, because he loves you so much. That's why he loves you. Even though you bring nothing to the table, God goes, I don't want you to bring nothing to the table, for I have all laid it out for you. I just want you to enjoy it. Allow me to be the co-signer of your life. The word says, for all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. The reason why some of you all only go to church a couple of times a year, because so many Christians are so judgmental and you feel like you don't belong. But let me tell you what the word says. For all who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It doesn't matter how much money you got in your bank account. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what have you done in the past. It don't matter what you're doing yesterday, today. It doesn't matter. If you call on the name of the Lord, and if you say, Jesus, I submit underneath your lordship, then you will be saved. You are a child of God, and you will be with him forever. Some of you all right now needs to have that co-signer in your life. Some of you all do. But make no mistake, men and women, Satan is fighting hard right now. You know daggum well you need to make a decision to follow Jesus, and you know it. But Satan is like, no, don't do this. Because if you do this, you know how difficult it is. You know how hard it's going to be. Really? No, don't do that. There's no way that you can do it. Do you know what you've done? Do you know who you are? and you're going to mess up. Oh, then what? You mess up, then you're back to square one. Don't even try. He is fighting as hard as he possibly can right now. He is making his last defense. Go past God, hit up, go past the devil's defense and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Right now. Can everybody stand to their feet, please? And can the prayer team come up? And I need every head bowed and every eyes closed real quick. Every single head bowed, every eyes closed. For those who don't know Jesus, you're not in here by your own will or anything like that. I mean, you know, God called you here. He called you here. He led you here. And you're here for the reason. God is speaking to you for a reason. Because he wants you to get to know him. And he wants to be with you forever. Don't be distracted. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Again, with every head bowed, with every eye closed, is anybody in here so bold to say, you know what? I decide today to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. I've done it my own way for the longest, but today I choose to completely submit underneath God's Lordship, and I will follow you all the rest of the days of my life. And even though I will mess up, I understand that you will forgive my sins and I will be with you. Will you be so bold to slip up your hand right now to say that, yes, I decide to give my life to Jesus right now? I see those hands. Now, keep them up, y'all. Be bold with it. Say, you know what? Because, y'all, right now, today is the day that whatever generational chain in your life is broken. No matter what, y'all, your eternity is changed forever. Absolutely forever. And the devil doesn't want that. So fight that. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Slip up their hand high if you all want to make that decision. Amen. Amen. I see those. Amen, you all. Today, y'all, heaven just got a few more citizens. Y'all, amen. All right, you can put your hands down. If there's anybody else in here who would just love some prayer, you just want to be reminded that your debt is forgiven. You want to be on the right track. You all, we would love for you to come to the altar and come and receive prayer. Also, for the people who gave their life to Jesus, you were bold to raise your hand and say, today is the day that I want my life changed forever. Will you also be so bold to let us come and lead you to Jesus? I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. But take the first steps today. All right? Today, take these first steps up here of boldness. Of living your life for Jesus. I'm going to take the time right now. Josh is going to lead us in worship, and then I'm going to pray with you afterwards. Boldly come to the altar today.